Well, hello, everyone, and this is a beautiful day just at the beginning of May. A little bit chilly in Sedona, but the skies are gorgeous, and we know that spring and summer are just around the corner. So this is the season of awakening, the spirit of rebirthing, and the season, I would say, of planting seeds for future harvest. So our attention turns toward abundance, toward extroversion, toward happiness and play. And it's certain that not everyone is in a happy state of existence today. Not everyone can play. And our deepest sympathies go out to the storm victims in the southern United States. And we do want to remember them, especially in our blessing today. Our blessing givers did a special blessing for them on just a couple of nights ago, and I have been offering continual blessings that they be, that these folks be lifted up to a level where they are able to call forth and receive the love and the charity of others to lift them out of their despair and grief and hopelessness, and especially those who lost loved ones. We really, really hold them in our heart and share their grief, because anything that happens to our human family happens to all of us, and we are all deeply moved by that, as well as other catastrophes that are constantly happening around the world. But we do pray that we get beyond this, and that their lives are rebuilt, and that we can look forward to a happier year than we have known in the last 2 years. And that brings me to the subject that really fell upon me from Yeshua. It was just like a little rainbow from heaven telling me what we need to talk about now. And in the midst of this great loss, it almost seems ironic, but not really. And that is to talk about abundance and prosperity. Because so often when things like this happen, we all fall into our scarcity and loss mode of thinking. And not only can we not expand ourselves, we don't even find the resources of charity to help those who most need to be shared with. So we're going to be talking about abundance and prosperity and how to open ourselves up for receiving. But for just a few minutes, if there's anyone who is gracious enough and brave enough to come on the line and speak, please do press 5-star, and I'll catch you on the dashboard. Here we do have one, and that is from area code 916. And you're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is Elizabeth from California, and I would just like any advice you can give. I'm just struggling with feeling like my life has just been a series of disappointments, and I feel really discouraged right now. So I was wondering, can you offer any advice of how you deal with that when you just feel like it's just one disappointment after another and you feel very discouraged?
Well, first of all, I'm so sorry that you're having those feelings, Elizabeth. And I know that a lot of people are, and especially a lot of people in your generation. For those people who don't know, Elizabeth is one of probably the younger people on this call, and she and I have come to know each other through several counseling sessions over the years. And I see that some of the things going on in the world are a little bit more discouraging to young people, because what is happening is that a lot of doors are closing. A lot of endings are happening. You see, we're coming to a point in the evolution of culture and the evolution of consciousness where a lot of things that used to work do not work anymore. A lot of avenues that led to prosperity or opportunity are just leading to a dead, the Dead Sea, or dry grass, or whatever you want to call it, empty pockets, It's not leading anywhere like it used to lead to. We're finding that certain technologies we thought would sustain us for a long time are now turning out to be too costly, unworkable, challenging our human financial resources, and challenging the hope, especially of young people who are inheriting what their parents left behind and finding it isn't much of an inheritance. And so what I really want to say to you, Elizabeth, and all of the other people on the call under 30, is that doors are closing, but also those closing doors are providing you with new opportunities and exemptions from having to carry on the past. Like so many, now those of us, if I could switch orientation, there are many of us in this call who, like myself, are over 50. And we experienced inheriting technology and ideas and values and expectations from our parents that we were somewhat obligated and obliged to carry on. And in many cases, we didn't have a lot of free will. We had to inherit the family business or the family values, et cetera, et cetera. And we carried them on, and now we find ourselves in this place where some of these endings that are happening are a little bit refreshing to us. We're kind of glad, wow, gee, we can freshen up our life. Here we are, 60 years old, and we can start over again. Whew. Relief, weight off our back. But that's not the way the younger people are feeling about it. They're feeling confused. They're feeling disappointed, and they're wondering, well, what do I do? Where do I go? Is everything closing down in front of me right here at the prime of my life? The answer is absolutely not. You are being given one of the greatest opportunities that has been presented to young people in a long, long time, and that is to create your whole life on a clean slate. And Elizabeth, you're just going to have to be a little more creative. Open yourself up to ideas that are coming from that clean slate and not something that was programmed into your childhood or not something that was programmed into your expectations from preceding generations. But keep your eyes very open to new inventions, new ways of connecting, new friends, possibly even just radical new ideas about where to live, where to work, and embrace the kind of bravery that people did who moved to the New World 400 years ago. They, too, were given a new slate. Some of them moved to Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Canada, Mexico, South America, America, and they encountered all kinds of obstacles and oppositions, harsh weather, strange new cultures, and look what they made of it. They made a whole new world. Well, a whole new world is opening up, but it won't happen this time by traveling to new continents, although some of you will relocate. Probably, actually, a great many of you will, because there's this migratory feeling that goes along with it. But you have to embrace the gift. And I would say embrace the gift with all your heart. Instead of looking at the glass becoming empty, look at a second glass being set beside it that is growing inch by inch by inch. Okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. Is there anybody, and actually that my answer really did apply to what we're going to talk about today. There's someone from area code 491. And as soon as I can get you unmuted, and you are now unmuted, you're on. Oh, you keep going back off. You must have your own telephone muted. I think you're on now, 491.
Oh, this is me. Hello?
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 Hello, we can hear you.
Oh, actually, sorry, that was an accident. I didn't really have to say anything.
Okay.
I go and mute.
Okay, I will mute you back, and I'll see if there's anybody else on the call. Okay? Anyway, it was nice momentarily speaking with you. Let's see. So we had Elizabeth on the call, and I don't see anyone else coming on right now. Okay. Well, I will start my presentation and still watch to see if anyone comes on that has... Oh, here we go. Hi, Jeannie. Really glad to have you here on the call, and you're unmuted.
Hi, Glenda. It's Jenny from Alaska.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi. I just wanted to share something because it relates to something that you talked about before.
Okay.
This morning, just before I woke up, I had the most incredible dream with Yeshua, and it's longer and more involved, but basically he appeared before me, and it was just, first of all, that was an amazing experience.
Oh, my sure.
And
I relate.
Yeah. And then either he presented me or offered me this or he turned into this, but I saw before me some kind of clay jar or pot, which was a lamp. You know how dreams are. They don't really make a whole lot of sense. I knew that I was going to touch it. And in that split second before I did, I thought about what you told me, what you told us about Thomas and your his experience of touching Yeshua. And so I didn't hesitate, and I decided, you know, I just don't want to lose this opportunity. And I went ahead and I put both hands around the pot, the jar, and set, you know, immediately I had this incredible feeling through my entire body. It was just like I had been activated or something. I don't really know the words to describe it. But it was just incredible. And then at that moment, I was, you know, I started to wake up, and I could feel that in my physical body.
Mm-hmm.
So I was waking up, and it was just beautiful. And there's a lot more to the dream, and that seems significant to me as well, more symbolism and such. But I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, thank you, Jenny. Actually, the clay pot is a symbol of the earth. And the fact that it was a lamp is a symbol of your enlightenment through touching the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's one of the things that we talk about frequently in our blessing, because a very important power of this blessing is actually that we are connecting all levels of our existence. We tend to think that our hurt has come from the earth, so we need to disconnect from it. We see how so many crimes of greed and possessiveness and isolation and judgment come from the earth plane, and we think, well, this is where hurt and evil are. We think about the battlefields that have existed on the earth. And we think about, you know, a smaller tragedy such as automobile accidents and people falling off of mountainsides. And we think, this is where harm occurs. It's on the earth. It's not the earth that causes the harm. Actually, the earth is just another dimension of our whole being. Probably more crimes are actually created in the spirit than are ever created in the earth. I don't think you would want to look inside the minds of a typical person. Jealousy, resentment, hate, misunderstanding, competitive urges, greed, willingness for other people to suffer, prejudice. There are more crimes in the spirit than ever occur on the earth. That's one thing I want to get real straight right now. There have been emotional crimes, crimes of passion. The fact is, if a person is inclined to be destructive, they'll be destructive on some level no matter what. And what we have to learn in this blessing is that it's only the sin that's wrong, not the sinner. There is a basic goodness in each one of us, which if it's brought out and brought into enlightenment, just simply disengages with all the pain, the hurt, and the suffering. And all of these things go away. And the best way to engage with the being and disengage from the behavior, which is a large part of Yeshua's work, is that he was here to show us our brother sisterhood, not only with each other, but with him and our relationship to the Creator, that we may start embracing the quality of being that we are and get off of this obsession with behavior. I think obsession with bad behavior only creates more bad behavior. And I really believe, as I look at Yeshua's work, it seems to be very consistent with what he would tell people. He would, every time he would have a healing, that healing would occur after he brought the person into an understanding of who he was. In other words, come to me. He would say, come to me. Or he would come to that person and touch them. They would personally engage as two beings. And then he would say something like, your faith has made you whole. Well, what was it faith in? He couldn't rely upon it being faith in religion. A lot of them didn't have religion at all, or if they did, it might be a misguided doctrine or some doctrine they were taught but they didn't really believe, or was drilled into them just out of protocol. So when he talked about faith, what was he talking about? Well, he was talking about the faith of being there in his presence. The faith of standing in the presence of Yeshua and being who you are. Just being in your faith brings you into the essence of your true being. And then he would say, and now that you are made whole, don't go and do those things anymore. So he didn't ever approve of misbehavior. Never. Never once. But he also didn't focus on it. Because correcting misbehavior was not the answer. And we're seeing this in, look at the way our penal systems are set up. They're set up so that people become repeat offenders. Because all of the focus is on misbehavior. Laws that were, well, in this country, we originally had our legal system set up to honor this teaching of Yeshua, which is any man is innocent until proven guilty. In other words, the weight is upon justice and penal system to prove that there was misdeed. And he is honored in his personal sovereignty until that's proven. But look at the change that's happened in just the last 20, 30 years. So many, many of our laws now function on the basis of arrest and confine and assume you're guilty until you prove you're innocent. Oh, man, this is what we broke away from to come and create a better nation that honored this central Christian value, this central teaching of Yeshua, that our sovereignty is supreme, and that we are at the heart of our being good. But we may have engaged in a lot of misbehavior. We might have. We might have engaged in a lot of really bad thoughts and harmful thoughts to other people. And it's the misbehavior that brings the pain. It's the misbehavior that brings our alienation either from the earth or from the spirit. Most of the time, the people I've encountered who are afraid of a spiritual life are the ones who have most misbehaved in the thought world. The ones who are most misbehaved You see, it just works this way. Wherever misbehavior has occurred is where we separate from. So what we have to do is reclaim the perfection of our being. And in the perfection of our being, our faith will make us whole. And then we learn from that. The lack of any positive result that ever came from any form of misbehavior. And I think all of the Ten Commandments were designed to just teach us. They're basically teaching tools. You see, Moses had to reconstruct a whole culture, a culture that had been in deep servitude for a couple of centuries, had lost its connection to sovereignty and centralized integrity. And he had to reteach them that, okay, sure, you can go out and steal a cow, but that cow's not going to mean anything to you. It may give you a little bit of milk. It may help your survival momentarily. But it'll be, it will actually create a derangement of thinking. You'll lose your sense of logic and your sense of cause and effect about life. You really need to go and earn that cow. And so he was teaching them. These were teaching commandments, and I don't think he ever intended them to become the militant, judgmental, harsh, condemning modality that they became. I think he really meant for them to become guidelines to enlightenment. Now, Moses was also given the basic teaching that Yeshua gave us, which is it's in our being that is our perfection. Because what did God teach Moses on the mountain when the bush was burning? I am that I am. And that is the name of God. In other words, there is nothing more sacred than being. Being is the source of sacredness. Not what we do, not what we say, not what we think or want, but who we are. Now, I want to relate that and connect that to this world of prosperity and to being able to attract our prosperity. I'm going to try to make this in a couple of minutes, and I think I can, because it's really just a short, potent message. And that is that the heart is a magnet. Yeshua says this in Love Without End. And you as a being are a magnet. Now, we don't, in our world of mechanistic science, which is down here in this three-dimensional world we live in, what we experience in life is that we have to do something first to attract something. And that even correlates with science, because there's no accident that we call a magnet the product of an electromagnetic field. In other words, it's through electricity that we create the magnetic field. And that's scientifically, mechanically true at this level. However, at the level where the universe is created and where it's created in your own world, the magnet is a primary attractor field. And it does not require action in order to attract. It does not require doing something to attract. What it requires is discovering again who you are and your basic purposes in life. Because it's who you are, your sense of purpose, your sense of joy, your sense of expectation, and your sense of being, well, shall we say, let me give you an image of a golden cup that can be filled endlessly with the elixir of life. In other words, you can be infilled. You can be poured into endlessly. And then from that come the various goodnesses of your action, all that you're capable of doing for others, for yourself, all that you're capable of creating. And I want to compare that to something that we can all relate to. that is how much energy we gain after a really good night's sleep. We don't do anything when we sleep. Actually, if we do, if we have a restless night's sleep, we usually get up not so refreshed. It's when we go into deep delta and we just become nearly comatose and lose ourselves to the world for 6 to 8 hours, and we're just doing nothing. The same thing can happen in prayer. The same thing can happen in deep meditation. And, of course, this is one of the things that we teach our blessing givers, how to find that place of pure being, because it's the place of pure being that is the real magnet that actually attracts the blessings of life. We think that we have to have money to make money. We think we have to already have talent to generate more talent, that we have to have something first. Actually, what you need, and the only thing you have ever needed, is to be who you really are. Yeshua says that who you really are is love. And it is you who are, you are the attractor field of your life. And so I would recommend that you constantly edit the memories of your life, both good and bad. It's amazing how we can get as stuck on the good things we've accomplished as we can on the bad things we regret. We get stuck in the past. It makes it impossible to be in the future. We don't let go of actions or things we've had before, things we regret losing. The fact is, in the present time, in this present moment, we're all working from a blank slate. And it's that blank slate that actually attracts the wealth of your life and the opportunity of your life. Now, as I ask you to go into your prayer for the blessing, I don't ask you not to pray for things or experiences or whatever is in your heart, because we certainly have the right to select the objects, experiences, and relationships of our desire, because our desire activates the passion of our heart. But when you think about these things, think about them graciously, without a possessive obsession to have them. For it may be that God even knows how to give you more than you could ever ask for, something better than you're asking for that you can't even think of at the moment. You see, the things we pray for are really just a starting point that God works from, and a starting point that you actually work from, like the pictures you put on your blank slate, knowing that you could take an eraser and put another picture there, because it's just always your starting point. But pray for whatever you're feeling or wanting or needing. Pray from the blank slate, but don't pray from a sense of scarcity. And I want to remind you, and this is the last thing I really want to say before we start our blessing, is so often we pray from scarcity. Oh God, I don't have enough money to pay my bills this month. Please give me something. You've prayed from scarcity. Instead, pray, oh God, I see infinite abundance in the universe. Help me to be part of the abundance and not part of the scarcity. I want to be part of the answer, not part of the problem. I want to live the prosperity. I want to know the prosperity from the inside out. Teach me all the laws and joys of prosperity, that I may take these into my being, and from my being then attract all the things that I need for my life. Okay? So I ask that you pray from the perspective of prosperity, not from the perspective of needing or scarcity. And let us pray for the renewed and expanded prosperity of all the earth, most especially those who feel a great loss at this moment, or great despair, great discouragement, that they may come from the blank slate, knowing that we all eternally live in that blank slate, making a choice of whether we view that blank slate as what has been denied us, or viewing that blank slate as all that will be given us. That's a fundamental choice that we all make every moment of our life. And I pray that you face the blank slate of your life, expecting it to be filled with all the good things that God may give you, and all the good things that may be given to the earth at this time, and to all of those who need a new sense of prosperity. We ask for this. I'm going to enter my prayer, and I want to just remind all of you, and those who are new, remove your shoes and socks so that your feet may touch the floor. Be seated so that your back is vertical, not stiffly vertical. Just, you can lean back in your chair, but I like the force of gravity to work through you so that it pulls down from all the dimensions of the ethers into your body, down to the base of your spine, and then through your legs into the earth. And let all things be connected. Yeshua will come to you. For some, he may touch you spiritually. For some, emotionally. Some, you will feel it on your feet, your heart, maybe the top of your head, according to your needs. He will magnify your prayers and convey the Holy Spirit through you. Now, I would like you to pray for 3 minutes while I am conducting the blessing. I invite any of the blessing givers that want to join me to do so. I will pray to Yeshua briefly as an invocation, and then we will begin conducting the energy. Continue your prayer through the whole of the conduction of energy, because he will magnify it. He will make you whole. Okay, and then I want you to go rest for 7 minutes, and I'll let you know when it's complete. Okay, let's begin. Dear Yeshua, Son of God, Lord of the universe, yet one who walks among us as our friend and brother, the one who is here to show us how, even in our fragile humanity, we are children of God, and we are one with God. And that despite all of our vulnerability, we have been given the ability to bridge heaven and earth. In this moment, we ask that you strengthen that bridge and allow us to embrace our connection with the earth, all dimensions of ourself, our human family, the realm of spirit, the realm of angels, the Holy Spirit, and our holy, blessed, almighty Creator. Knowing that on all levels we are love, and it is through our love that we attract all the blessings of life. Thank you for being here today to conduct this energy and to bring us into our wholeness. Amen. the conveyance is complete. Now go and rest, and God be with you this week, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.